welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are in hour number two, our third segment. I am flying solo this segment, so we're going to try to have some fun. If you joined us late, Greg Jackson was our guest in the first hour, and he did a fantastic job with laying out the Jewish holidays. We talked about the feast days that Jews celebrate, today being the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, also known as the Feast of Trumpets. And folks, if you are like me and are ignorant of a lot of the details pertaining to these Jewish holidays, go back and listen to the first hour, specifically the first segment with Greg Jackson, as he did a fantastic job of laying these out, and it was very informative. We're going to hit some news and information in this segment, and I was going to start off with the WikiLeaks announcement, but I'm going to start off with the Hurricane Matthew first, and then we'll get into Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, and then when my father joins us, we will get into that even more, because we've got some information that we're going to cover, as the next 12 hours should be rather interesting, as there's a coming press conference upcoming at 3 a.m. Eastern Time, where there is speculation of what Julian Assange will be releasing. But let's talk about Hurricane Matthew first, because I want to talk about this. I don't want to miss this. And I do kind of want to get it out of the way. Hurricane Matthew is a Category 5 hurricane that is south in the Bahamas. It has already killed one fisherman in Haiti, according to some of the latest reports from the Weather Channel. And this is now being... there's a state of emergency that's been declared in Florida, as well as in North Carolina, that are directly related to this hurricane. And they're saying now that the storm has contributed to at least four deaths, two in Haiti, one in Colombia, and one in St. Vincent. And at least Haiti, Jamaica, and Cuba need to brace for the hurricane's arrival. They say it is it could impact Haiti in a very bad way, as well as the rest of the Caribbean, and you could see, you know, record-breaking storm surges. They say that this is a massive storm already responsible for a few deaths in a week. The government of Haiti has banned boating in the coastlines of Haiti started Saturday, and there's a majority fishing community there, you know, and that's what one of these deaths came from, was a fisherman in Haiti killed, and they say he was just trying to feed his family. But nonetheless, the whole East Coast, even though the lower United States, as I said, Florida and North Carolina have declared a state of emergency. But we're going to see this hurricane hit some of the poorest regions in the Caribbean and Bahamas, and the death toll, as well as the toll of what property and resources there are in danger. So keep these people in your prayers, the people of Haiti, the people of Cuba, and the Bahamas, the Caribbean, South Florida, and anybody in the path of this storm. As it looks as though, you know, this could be one of those maximum damage type scenarios. And where will the hurricane go from there? Many people, there's models out from NOAA to the National Weather Service, and there are a number of different theories out there. Many think it'll go up the side of the East Coast and could continue its storm surge and bringing tremendous amounts of rain up and down the East Coast of the United States. And folks, you can go to Drudge Report, you can go to, like I said, NOAA. NOAA is a good one for the weather models. But the monster hurricane is swirling around in the Caribbean, and the threat to the U.S. is on the rise. Now, to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, we got a lot of interesting information that we want to cover here. There's been some headlines over the weekend. There were some questions as to what was going on. We saw yesterday that WikiLeaks canceled the highly anticipated press conference from a London balcony on Tuesday, and they are calling this the October surprise. Now, Assange canceled the Tuesday appearance due to security concerns, leaving many people to wonder if he was blowing smoke about this October surprise, or if he really had the goods on the Hillary campaign. And one of the things that I've noticed that Assange has been set in the beginning is the information that he releases will be important, but what will be just as, if not more important, is the public reaction and media coverage of the information that's released. Is it going to be, you know, full uncensored access to the emails that were deleted by Hillary Clinton? There is new information that came out today, and I think Zero Hedge was one of the first ones to cover this, but this was on a number of news sites, and just as important, and we need to make sure we hit on this, the FBI allowed two of Hillary aides to destroy their laptops. Now, these two aides both had immunity, but the FBI allowed them to destroy their laptops in newly exposed side agreements. And Zero Hedge asks, just when you think Hillary's email scandal could not get any more bizarre or corrupt, it does. According to a letter released from the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, Republican from Virginia, to Attorney General Lynch, the FBI apparently struck side agreements with both Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson to destroy their laptops after conducting its search. Again, the FBI making side agreements with Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson allowed these two to destroy their laptops after conducting their searches through it, which raises many questions as to the FBI's investigation and the credibility of the FBI's investigation and investigative findings. I think there are, with the release of this information and what WikiLeaks is going to release, the media, at least those of us in the media who have a soul left, who seek to find the truth of the matter, regardless of where it leads, have a responsibility to cover any relevant, important insights that Julian Assange's information could bring. Now, if it means pouring through 33,000 emails and reading their contents to find where the criminal elements lie, then that's what's going to need to happen. Will we see that from the mainstream media? No. We won't see it in most of the alternative media, except, to those who care about the future of this nation and to those who care about the truth. But yesterday we got the information that Assange was canceling his press conference that the information wasn't going to be released. But it was also said that this was due to a security concern from the balcony of London's Ecuadorian embassy, where Assange has sought sanctuary for years. This cancellation was first reported by NBC News, and according to NBC News' Jesse Rodriguez, the announcement was canceled due to security concerns. There had been widespread anticipating that Tuesday's announcement might have been Assange's long-promised document dump on Hillary Clinton. Well, just hours after the announcement that Assange was going to cancel this document dump, the Assange camp released the statement that they were going to have a press conference. And the press conference is going to be at 3 a.m. in the morning, and we're going to have special updates for you live tonight, tomorrow morning, as these events unfold. And this is also the 10th anniversary of WikiLeaks, the organization, on Monday. So it's the 10-year anniversary or about the 10-year anniversary of WikiLeaks as an organization. You're set to have this historic document release pertaining to the Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. Now, Assange will speak, instead of speaking publicly, he will speak via video link to an event in Berlin on Tuesday. The organization has earlier released information hacked from the Democrats, and it came across as Clinton had proposed also to drone strike Assange in 2010. Now, this I wanted to make sure we hit on. You know, all this is going on. The calling for Julian Assange's death is something that's been in the news the last few weeks to a month. Bob Beckel of Fox's The Five was on Fox Business, where he made the comment for Assange to be assassinated. Calls to assassinate Assange have also been made on public television, most notably by former Fox Business commentator Bob Beckel, who suggested U.S. special ops be used to eliminate the whistleblower. And now WikiLeaks has come out and said, well, and Bob Beckel went on to say he was a traitor. What he's doing is treasonous. He's broken every law of the United States, and so I'm for the death penalty. That's the only way to do it. Illegally shoot the SOB is what Bob Beckel said, as he goes on to say a dead man can't leak stuff. Well, it's come out now. WikiLeaks has released a screenshot of what Hillary Clinton has stated. A screenshot Monday tweeted cites a report from TruePundit.com claiming in 2010 the State Department explored ways to suppress the troublemaking Assange before he could publish damaging information on conversations between the State Department personnel and its foreign assets and allies. Can't we just drone this guy? Clinton openly inquired. TruePundit.com reports. While WikiLeaks has not confirmed the veracity of the report, the Washington Examiner notes that during the same time, the State Department was involved in the discussion on what non-legal methods were available to subdue Assange. Again, I don't know, Eric, was that screenshot up? There's a little highlighted section. Clinton openly inquired, can't we just drone this guy? So you see where she has wanted and what she has wanted to do with Julian Assange, and as the head of WikiLeaks since 2010 when she was in the State Department, you know, not pulling any punches there. They want this guy dead, apparently. And he, as well as other hackers, have embarrassed the Democratic Party as a whole. We saw Debbie Wasserman Schultz resign in shame the night before the Democratic National Convention due to the leaks. And what we'll see at 3 a.m. This morning with the Assange press conference and subsequent document dump, I'm assuming, should be very interesting, and I think that will give us information to cover for not only days but weeks. But the question remains, is and will the information be covered to the extent where the American people will be able to receive it and understand it? And even more importantly, as we talked about in the first hour, mentioning the debates with Donald Trump, you know, will Donald Trump be able to use the opportunities that he has been given and the information that we already know about Hillary Clinton? Can he use it effective and efficiently? We haven't seen that so much in this presidential campaign. We've seen, you know, the huge media bias for Hillary Clinton, the covering up of her, you know, scandals from Libya, from the creation of ISIS, the gun running, Benghazi, the email scandal. She's been shielded completely by the media. And Trump has been, you know, the one who has been attacked, has been compared to Hitler, and on and on and on. There's no end to the lies the media goes to cover up for Hillary Clinton. But if Trump is able to use this information right, that's the only way I can see, you know, him really turning the tide. I know there's still a lot of people that are undecided or on the fence or say they're on the fence, but I would have to believe that most of the people already have their minds made up when it comes to this election. Now, there's a lot of stuff being talked about with the Donald Trump tax situation. And from what I understand, he reported a $916 million loss, something like that, for in the casino business back in the early 90s, mid 90s, and he's been just torn apart through the in the news about his 95 tax return. There was a leaked 1995 Trump tax return scandal, which focused on the billionaire's net operating loss and how it legally enabled him not to pay taxes for years. It one thing that's been overlooked in this, and good job to Zero Hedge for this, Clinton campaign admits Hillary used same tax avoidance scheme as did Trump. The same exact scheme that she is dragging him through the mud for using. You know, I heard her made the comments how anybody can lose a dollar to $1 billion in the casino industry is hard for me to believe, and saying if this is how he manages a business and manage how he's going to manage a country. But he did not have to pay taxes for a number of years until 2015 due to this $1 billion loss. Well, Hillary Clinton, who's been saying Trump is, you know, a terrible person for doing this, used the same tax maneuver, and she did so for a $700,000 loss to avoid paying taxes in 2015. Now, the Clinton campaign was quick to jump on the leaked Trump tax filing, with not only her out there and making comments, but her campaign staff out there commenting and on social media and on interviews. But, you know, it's just more of the same, the hypocrisy. Well, they go on to explain that Hillary's loss was not on the scale of Trump's. Hillary Clinton, like many wealthy individuals, is taking advantage of a legal scheme to use historical losses to avoid paying current taxes. So she is, they say in the end, and it's simply put, this is the pot calling the kettle black, as is so much when it comes to her campaign. But back to the Trump campaign. While we're talking, while we're talking about the politics, Rick Wiles last Thursday and Greg both made a great point today. Greg did, about the Donald Trump being baited into talking and addressing certain issues during a debate, being taken off message. He was interrupted some 40-some times, according to Dave Hodges. As I was on Dave Hodges' show, The Common Sense Show, last night in the third hour, and my father will be on next Sunday in the third hour with Dave. You know, how is Trump coming across on the debates to the American people? We can't really go by polls, at least not ones that the mainstream media puts out. I continue to go by the attendance of the two candidates at their rallies, and with some of, you know, and you take into consideration how the two were treated, I would say Trump definitely came out on top. Those who have studied Hillary Clinton, those who have studied the political history, the criminal history of the Clinton family and its ties to other criminal political families here in America, as well as criminal nations overseas, when you see the extent of evil that this lady embodies, I mean, her mentor is Saul Alinsky, who wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, dedicating the book to the first radical or rebel, the devil. Also, one of her mentors, Margaret Sanger, one of the founders of Planned Parenthood, who openly called for, you know, wiping out the African American population through abortions. These are people that she has openly stated are her mentors. And when you see the commercial, and I haven't been watching a lot of TV, but one commercial that I continue to see if I'm at somebody's house or even when I'm at my own house and the TV's on, is this commercial about Trump commenting. I think it stems back to an argument he had with Rosie O'Donnell back in the late 2009-2010 area, where he called her some pretty harsh names. And I don't remember what they were arguing about, but they show these young women, you know, and then they play Donald Trump's harsh words when he's talking about Rosie O'Donnell. And it does make him look bad. And that's one area that the Clinton campaign has capitalized on, whether it is in context or not. It does make Trump look bad. And when you when Trump's not taking the opportunities, the advertising opportunities, and I've been seeing that Clinton commercial so much, and you don't see hardly anything about Clinton. There was one interesting move that Trump made, and that is there's a new website out there, and it is ClintonCain.com. Apparently, the person who originally bought the domain name ClintonCain.com offered the domain to Hillary Clinton for $15,000 and was willing to go as low as $10,000. And the campaign refused to buy the domain, saying it couldn't justify that type of spending. It didn't have the money. It only had about $2,000 allotted. Well, the owner of this domain went out and found a buyer. And if you go to ClintonCain.com, you will see that the buyer was Donald Trump. And he has on there, it's a Drudge-style website. And, you know, the top headline, Clinton, Sanders supporters live in parents' basement. And then they go down a list of all headlines that are true, that show, you know, the true colors of the two Democratic presidential and vice presidential nominees' character and previous politics, from Hillary Clinton, you know, supporting abortion to Tim Kaine wanting to take away your Second Amendment rights. And I think that's very smart, what Trump did there, you know, buying up domain names associated with Clinton as well as Kaine and using it to show their failures as politicians, as their history of politicians. While we're still on Clinton, I know many of you have a question about this, as I do. Does Bill Clinton have a love child? Many of you who opened your computers this morning and went to Drudge Report saw in the big center screen there a man named Danny Williams, who's 30, claiming he is the biological son of former President Bill Clinton. Rumors about Danny's paternity surfaced not long after his birth in 1985, when Clinton was still governor of Arkansas. Danny's mother, Bobby Ann Williams, who was a prostitute, says she is certain Bill Clinton is the father, since he was her only white client at the time. Folks, I'm reading this from the Daily Mail. If you want to find more information on this, you can there, as well as other, there's plenty of other sources out there talking about this story. But the page also includes claims that Hillary banished him, and the Clinton campaign has refused to comment on these claims. Now, have been rumors out there that Clinton has had an illegitimate child in the past. It is now being put out there that they have found the child, and it is none other than this man, Danny Williams. I'm sure we will see more of this story to come in the future, in the near future. Another interesting piece of news I want to hit here before the break, this from the Wall Street Journal, and this has been making its rounds not only today but yesterday. Gun show customers' license plates come under scrutiny. Federal agents enlisted local police to scan cars' plates at gun shows in the parking lots. Now, I'm sure this article talks about what's happening at gun shows, but just imagine when we cover this, what they're doing, this happening at political rallies, at religious events, conferences, church even, I would say some churches, and just what a wide range of use that this could be being done and us not having any idea about it. Federal agents have persuaded police officers to scan license plates to gather information about gun show customers, according to government emails, raising questions about how officials monitor constitutionally protected activities. Emails reviewed by the Wall Street Journal show agents with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency created a plan in 2010 to use license plate readers and other devices that record the plate numbers of all passing by vehicles to keep track of them, identify them, and catalog them to see what other behaviors these people are engaging in. Now, we have drones that carry, you know, license plate readers. We have stoplights that have license plate readers, and most police cars are equipped with them. Then this information is back from 2010. But even here, we had, I remember there was some issue over an open carry rally here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and the city tried to cancel it. And it was actually, the event continued. But after it was said and done, our investigation showed that police officers were copying down license plates of people who attended and were part of the open carry rally. Now, this is being done on a massive scale, according to new government information on surveillance tactics. They are mass scanning cars of license plates of cars of people who are attending gun shows, gun rallies, and other events that are affiliated with firearms. Folks, we're going to come back with more information after this short break. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're halfway through the show, so don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We got a lot more to get into today. We have information of a 40 million man Russian military drill. Another story I want to get into. Is globalism demonic? Many theologians say yes. And starting today, the military begins paying for gender reassignment surgery for soldiers.
Go figure.
Very
right?
Interesting times. Oh, look who it is.
Yeah. Hey, I'm back. Now it's a party, right? And thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I really want to thank each and every one of you for your belief and your trust in us. We really, I'll tell you what, things are really moving along. I was talking to, I had some communication with Steve Quayle this morning, and we were talking about the, just about how dire things are with respect to Russia, Syria. Things taking place in Syria, of course, and we're closer to war with Russia than ever before in recent history. People are not seeing this, and it's very disconcerting. And of course, that speaks to your evacuation drill or your civil defense, or what's talking about the civil defense drills back in Russia, folks. Let me ask you a question to the business owners out there: are you hiring? Hey, are you hiring? Boy, that's a good thing if you are. Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? That's the question. You know, posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect person for that job, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. Folks, now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city, industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. That's the really great thing about it, the dashboard, the interface, ZipRecruiter. It makes things so easy. You don't have to juggle emails. You don't have to juggle calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, hire the right person really fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, listeners to the Hagman and Hagman Report can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial or flash. Yeah, I better say that again just so people don't take that the wrong way. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Try it for free, folks. Listeners to this broadcast can try that for free. You got to go to the website for full details, but listeners of this broadcast have a great offer, or being offered a great deal by that. And that's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. I've taken it for a ride and used it, and it's really a great service. It makes hiring easy, simple. Oh my goodness, it's really a great service. If you own a small, medium, large business, if you are the head of the personnel department, try it out. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Yeah, I caught some of the program, Joe. I'm away here, so.
A few things that we didn't hit on, some of the stuff on the website, HagmanReport.com.
Yep.
And folks, if you join us late, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned at Hagman Report, we have been continuing to populate our website, with all kinds of content, from content related to shows to content we talk about during the shows. And we've been doing so on a daily basis, even putting some listener submissions up. And today we noticed if we logged ourselves out of the website, that it only was updated up to September 28th, Wednesday, which, that being the case, about a week's worth of content was not seen by many people out there. So JD got on the problem real quick, fixed it, figured out what it was, fixed it, and it's back up and running fine. But some of the listener submissions that I posted, I'm going to redate them. They're going to show up again tomorrow on the front end, because they're really good. As well as some of the other important content that might have been missed, you know, since the 28th of September. And we hope that was contained to a minimum, that people were able to get the content throughout the weekend.
I think it's fixed.
But yeah, it is fixed now. So keep your eyes on Hagman Report here and into the near future, as it is updated daily, multiple times a day, with a number of important stories. And one of those important stories, and you mentioned this at the very beginning when you came on, the increasing tensions between the USA and Russia, Russia has warned, dire consequences for the USA for attacking Syrian government forces. Russia said it would have terrible consequences. This is news at antiwar.com, and they say, just in case everybody was sleeping, the USA has already attacked the Syrian government, and it's already happened. And Russia didn't make an if statement about future attacks. It said what would happen if this happened.
See, Obama and the Obama regime, along with the Clinton and Kerry, now Kerry State Department, you got to know that they are helping ISIS. They're funding ISIS. They're supplying ISIS. They're training ISIS. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why? Well, Obama is perfect for the job. Huma Abedin, State Department second in command, shall we say, for Hillary Clinton before her tenure was up or she resigned. Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, this is ridiculous. Joe, I didn't mean to.
But when you see what this escalation, there was a ceasefire in Syria that's been basically, that has been done away with. And you see that the U.S. is not, the U.S. and Russia were supposed to align to fight ISIS together. As we saw, Russia was becoming much more effective against ISIS fighters. And they were starting to whip up and clean up parts of Iraq and Syria, mainly because they have a clear distinction of who is an enemy and who is a friend of Russia being the Syrian government, the enemy of Russia being, you know, ISIS fighters and those fighting the Syrian government, whereas the U.S. Labels ISIS, I guess, as the enemy, but pays Syrian moderate rebel forces, right, who are anti-government as some of their backers. Now, Russia has attacked those U.S. backers, and it's not really as convoluted as it sounds. The U.S. is supporting terrorism in other countries, and one of the country's allies, Russia, is saying, you know, we've had enough of this. We're not going to allow this anymore, to the point where they said, we're going to shoot down any aircraft that interferes in Syrian airspace or that comes after the Syrian government. Now, what's interesting about this is, now, I don't know how long this has been planned, but Russia has announced that more than 40 million people are going to participate in a drill that deals with nuclear shelters and...
duck and cover, duck and cover, duck and cover.
Yeah, an unplanned exercise to be held in Russia, more than 40 million people to participate, and 5,000 nuclear shelters to be used in Moscow and that area. So is this something more than an unplanned exercise or drill that Russia is conducting, considering the tensions and with the, what we see between the U.S. and Russia and the continued provocation by the United States despite the warnings of Russia? Or is Russia now just going ahead with what it had planned to do to the U.S. if the U.S. didn't back down or fall in line?
See, I've long stated that World War III would start in Syria, and we're seeing it play right out right now. And the intelligence insider, of course, giving us information, had stipulated all of this, that World War III would begin in Russia. And somebody asked me earlier today, when do you think World War III would begin? And I just responded, it's already started. And the seeds of the Great War, the final war, I think, have been sown in Syria.
Yeah.
Go on.
And what's coming out now is, the latest I've seen is U.S. suspending diplomatic relations with Russia pertaining to Syria.
Right.
The Obama administration on Monday withdrew from talks with Russia over a failed ceasefire citing Russia's role in the bombardment of Aleppo. The decision ends, for now, prospects of a truce and threatens
What's
to
Aleppo?
Send... All right, Gary. Jonathan.
Yeah.
This ends the truce and threatens to send the long civil war into perilous new directions with hopes for a political settlement more distant. And, Gary Johnson, what is Aleppo?
You know, and all of this combined... Now, did you know Blackwater is a big... Blackwater, of course, is a military, a paramilitary, or well, it's a military organization, paramilitary activities.
Military contractors, subcontractors,
right.
That they don't have to follow certain military rules, yet they can be paid as and do functions as military personnel.
Now, it's my understanding, based on information that I received, and I think this, we're tracing this down, that Blackwater was a huge donor to the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State. And this is something, too, that beginning at 3 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, we're going to be monitoring the press conference of Julian Assange out of Berlin. I believe there's a six-hour time difference, so I think that would be 9 o'clock, if I'm correct, 9 o'clock local time in Berlin. And, of course, I heard you touch on it, I think it was in the first hour or the second hour.
Second hour.
Okay, where he was going to give an announcement or a conference on the balcony of the embassy, and of course that's been changed because of the serious and I believe serious threats to his safety. And many people wonder too, well, why is he just incrementally giving this information out? That's a great question. I don't have an answer for that. I know that if I had information, I'm not sure if I would hang on to it. However, I think there is some value to that, releasing it incrementally because of the short attention span. Now, this is not going to be covered. The coverage by the mainstream media here in the United States is going to be minimal, and the West is going to be minimal. But specifically here in the United States, will be minimal. Now, I know Jones is going to be going live at 3 o'clock. We won't be going live, but we will be updating the website starting at 3 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, folks. And if there's anything, if there's anything of significance, we will go live in the morning when everyone else is awake. So while you're sleeping, don't worry. We got it covered. We got you covered. So, but the information I received, I got a call today from a, I'll just say a member of the Secret Service who was in the position. And you might wonder, well, why Secret Service as opposed to an intelligence agent? Secret Service is not an intelligence agency as much as it is a protective detail and, of course, part of the Treasury Department. But having said that, there was some information that this individual had about the potential leak, substance of the leaks. It goes back to the money, following the money on the Clinton Foundation, in addition to some other things.
And what would it take at this point to derail a Clinton campaign to make the either the press or the American people stop and take a look at this information with the, you know, and say, wow,
well,
this really can't be true. And what would change the perception of the people out there?
Perception, nothing. I don't think anything, because you've got people that I know that she could be sacrificing puppies on the White House lawn, and no one would care. Her supporters would find some reason to say that was the puppies deserved it. So you're right. However, the information I received was the data that will be disclosed will be sufficient, or not sufficient, but will be enough to cause Congress to act, perhaps, to push for an indictment, which kind of goes back to Comey, the FBI director. Let me just give you some information about Comey, because I had some questions about Comey, and I started looking into him and figuring out what his deal is.
Did you get his
6'8" guy? By the way, he's 6'8". Do you know that?
No.
He's a tall,
even more,
isn't he?
Comfortable. Did you get ties to his HSBC ties and the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah, but there's some other stuff, background information. Folks, listen to this, all right? This is not Comey's first time out investigating the Clintons, all right? Nor his second. It's actually his third. The email server probe marked the third time that Comey had investigated Bill or Hillary Clinton. His first run-in came in back in the mid-1990s when he joined the Senate Whitewater Committee as a deputy special counsel. Now, there he dug into allegations that the Clintons took part in fraud connected to Arkansas real estate ventures gone bust. Well, no charges, geez, no charges were ever filed against either Clinton, but the scandal itself would eventually lead to Ken Starr's probe that would result in the Lewinsky scandal, which kind of derailed the investigation. In 2002, Comey was a federal prosecutor. He took over the investigation into Bill Clinton's 2001 pardon of financier Mark Rich, not to be confused with Seth Rich, but Mark Rich, who had been indicted on a number of charges before leaving the country. Remember that? Mark Rich was just wow. And then he fled the country, and of course Clinton pardoned Mark Rich in 2001. Well, that decision alone set off this firestorm focused on accusations that Rich's ex-wife, Denise Rich, made donations to the Democratic Party, the Clinton Library, and Hillary Clinton 2000 Senate campaign. Now, folks, see, here's the thing. That debate with Trump and Hillary Clinton, remember that comment about Trump's taxes and
yeah.
Trump's
we covered that
stuff, right?
Yeah, in the first hour, how Hillary Clinton used the same tax loophole and advantage to herself when reporting a $700,000 loss.
Well, yeah, and a couple of things about this too, folks. You know that, and you probably heard that 3 pages of Donald Trump's 1995 tax return were made public.
Yeah, well, they weren't released. They were leaked.
Leaked, correct. Now,
and there's actually a lawsuit I think Trump's already filed.
Well, yes,
filing.
As well he should, because that's totally illegal, and especially in the campaign. Well, there will be people who will say, well, what's the difference if it's that's leaked versus, you know, what is happening with Clinton? There's a huge difference here. But I digress, and I don't want to go down that road right now. But it's interesting because Comey, getting back to Comey, he had overseen Rich's prosecution between 1987 and 1993. We're back to Mark Rich now, and Denise Rich. The epicenter of the fraud, the continuing course of criminal activity here with respect to Hillary Rodham Clinton and Bill Clinton. You can't separate the two, really. The real crux of the matter is the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons pay to play in all aspects of their lives. Are you telling me 30 years really on the government, on the taxpayers' dime, and you've got Bill and Hillary Clinton worth gazillions, and that's an exaggeration, of course, but worth a lot of money, and you've got Donald Trump working in the private sector, not working in the government service, but in the private sector. They're two separate, distinctly different entities here. Trump, private sector, business dealings. Regardless, if you think, well, these business dealings are, you know, really whatever you might, however you might classify them. But Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton to make money and to become absolutely rich, I mean, obscenely wealthy, because of their government positions. That's much different than Trump becoming rich or taking advantage of whatever tax loopholes or whatever in the private sector. Totally different. But let me just kind of touch back on Comey here, because I got a lot to say about this.
All right.
Okay. The Whitewater convictions. And let's, don't ever forget, again, the criminal course of, continuing criminal course of conduct, criminal conduct of both Clintons. You've got the Whitewater connections. Don't forget Jim Guy Tucker, governor of Arkansas at the time, was removed from office. Three counts of fraud. You got John Haley, attorney for Jim Guy Tucker, tax evasion. William Marks Sr., Guy Tucker's business partner, arrested for, guess what, conspiracy. Yeah, that's a real thing, conspiracy. Stephen Smith, the former aide to Governor Clinton, conspiracy to misapply funds. Now, Bill Clinton pardoned him. Man, what a gig, huh? I'd like to be pardoned. Seriously. None of us. You realize we get thrown under the bus, you know, with a felony, a legal problem. You think anyone's going to come to our aid to pardon us? Heck no. And remind me to tell everyone, too, we got some information about the war, the asymmetrical war that's being waged against not just Hagman and Hagman. However, there is a war being waged against us as truth tellers, as watchmen. And trust me when I tell you, it is a hot war and it's getting worse and worse, but against the entirety of the alt-right, if that is, well, as it's being described. I just want to just remind me before we sign off for the show. But you have Jim McDougal, don't forget the banker. Now, he was a Clinton political supporter, 18 felonies, of course, against him. Susan McDougal, his wife, another Clinton political supporter, multiple counts of fraud. Now, Bill Clinton pardoned her. David Hale, you got, and I'm not going to go through everybody, Chris Wade, Larry Kuka, Robert Palmer, and on and on. Not the Robert Palmer, not the singer, no. Ultimately, the Clintons were never charged, but in total, 15 other persons were convicted of more than 40 different crimes, including Clinton's successor as governor, who was removed from office. Now, let's fast forward for a little bit. Cheryl Mills. I heard you mention Cheryl Mills, Joe. Mm-hmm. All right.
They were allowed to, you heard about the computers.
Yes, yes. And there's some other information here that I want to get into, because you're not going to believe the research that we conducted and we found. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear at the beginning of the next hour. So, I mean, if you know people who are ambivalent about the email scandal or the foundation scandal, call them up. Tell them to start listening here in about 9 minutes, because you're gonna be blown away by some information that we have uncovered, and we intend to report this as well. But let me just touch on Cheryl Mills here, because recently the chair of the Senate the Judiciary Committee chair, Senator Grassley, had written and communicated about State Department Tenio employee Huma Abedin collecting political intelligence gleaned from unsuspecting State Department officials that was then sold for a price. Now, this is so unbelievably egregious. I mean, there are so many aspects to what's taking place. The email crimes, the email criminal activity, the Clinton Foundation, and Hillary Clinton's position as Secretary of State. Once you start connecting all of the dots, and there are so many dots to connect, and then you've got Obama and his people over here, how, when you start overlapping and overlaying everything, oh my goodness, and start connecting the dots, it's amazing. But back a year ago, in June of last year, Grassley wrote a letter and documented this to this Judiciary Committee about Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, and Clinton and all of this. Folks, recall that Huma Abedin was a government employee at the Department of State. Hillary facilitated Huma Abedin having several other jobs concurrent with her position at State. Remember that? One was Huma Abedin working for Tenio, the powerhouse company that's purported to be the vehicle foreign entities used to get access to the Clintons. The Tenio Corporation is the gatekeeper of sorts to the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and Clinton as Secretary of State. Now, it appears that one of Huma Abedin's clients, the Clinton-connected Tenio strategies, may have been compensating Huma Abedin for gathering information from U.S. government sources for the purpose of informing investment decisions of our consulting clients. In other words, gathering and giving or selling political intelligence. Did you hear that? It's important to understand that. This raises so many questions, not just ethical, but legal questions, about whether Huma Abedin's dual role, that with Tenio, and that as her position as second in command to Hillary, or second or assistant to Hillary during her role at the Department of State, was adequately disclosed to government officials who may have provided her information without realizing that she was being paid by private investors to gather information. This is the ultimate insider's insider. This is worse than playing with Mark cards. I mean, it's amazing. Now, Grassley, you can, folks, we're going to find Grassley's communication or post Grassley's communication. Grassley had recounted that Abedin sent or received more than 7,000 emails, 7,000 herself on her U.S. government account that involved Tenio's Doug Band. Remember that name being thrown about, Doug Band? Remember Band being the subject in the subject line of those emails? Well, this is where, when you start looking at what's this all about, this is where it is. Doug Band, a close confidant and travel companion of Bill Clinton. It's just not Hillary. It's Bill, too. And Bill's got more problems than his moral and spiritual bankruptcy and his unwillingness to acknowledge his love child, although that makes for good tabloid. No, this is legal. I mean, this stuff is espionage-level activity, folks. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. This is where you go for information like this, HagmanReport.com and Hagman and Hagman.com for show information, for show, anything related to the show. There you can get all of the venues, Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much for carrying our program, YouTube, as well as Blog Talk Radio. We are going to be right back. Thanks, Joe, for covering me while I was gone. And by the way, Eric was late to the studio today. You might want to ask Eric what happened. Somebody broke into his vehicle. Eric is on the warpath. Watch out. He's a hunt. Folks, we're going to be right back right after this. Stay right where you're at.